right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Monday, July 25th. I'm Doug Norrie, here with Austin Varney. Austin, how's it going, brother?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm easing my way into a Monday, I would say. I'm running. I've already pushed the podcast back 45 minutes off of usual, and now we're running even farther behind. So I feel like I'm playing a little bit of catch-up, but otherwise, good to go. We're here from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Here to help you build Major League Baseball lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Head over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, where you can just hit calculate, spits out optimal lineups from our projections. You can also stack, you can player include, player exclude, play different slates, really all the features you need to get yourself started for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Let's get going with a Monday slate of baseball. Austin, you wrote the picks last night, so I feel like hopefully you're pretty well versed in what like the lay of the land here. Walk me through. You said, you know, your thing off the air was looks like a fun slate. Where are you going to start with pitching, you think?
I think it starts and maybe finishes in cash games with Aaron Sanchez against the Padres. His big problem in the past has been, you know, him against lefties. Last year he had a 368 wOBA against lefties. He's got that down to a 300 with a good changeup now. It's all backed up by low line drive rate, low hard contact rate. Padres are still the worst team against righties due to their huge strikeout rate. I believe it's 26.5% almost, which is just insane. And while the ballpark's not great, I think he might give up maybe one or two home runs, but I think the strikeouts are going to be there. He's not really a strikeout guy, but the Padres strike out so much that I could see him getting around 7, 8, or 9. And after that, I think it's a lot of tournament guys and maybe, you know, Syndergaard, the Cardinals' run line is really low. I didn't expect it to be below three.
Right.
That's rare to see that team below three. So I like him. I think Arrieta has to be in play against the White Sox, and the run line on the Yankees with Keiko pitching is very low. So
yeah, so those I'm going to back up and go back to Sanchez for a second. So he faces the Padres. I know there's been some talk because the thing is, so a lot of people have it in their head where they say, well, the Padres are causing people problems lately, or I don't want to we keep rostering pitchers against the Padres, and you know, and they have varying levels of success. The thing is, it's that they're almost more on our radar because we pitch so many pitchers against them because it's generally correct, like they're not good, but because of that, people just tune way more into the Padres and see that, oh, you know, Scherzer lets up a home run early. Oh, Padres are getting to him. No, this is still a bad team, and I know, and they're only on our radar more because we pitch so many pitchers against them in daily games that you just kind of pay attention more. It's still a bad team. They still strike out a ton. You know, we talk a ton about money lines and how, yes, money lines aren't the be-all, end-all of prediction, but I kind of look at them as like weather forecasts, right? You know, if a weather forecast says it's 75% chance of rain, yeah, there's a 25% chance it might not rain, right? It's not, there's a difference, there's not 100% chance. And money lines are in some ways very similar to that. It does not tell us the whole truth ahead of time. But it gives us a pretty nice insight into what generally Vegas, who is populated with pretty smart people when it comes to this stuff, thinks is a general sense of what the game's going to be. And a -254 line for him, that's one of the bigger lines you'll see. It's definitely one of the bigger lines you'll see from a non-elite pitcher. So I wouldn't call Sanchez elite, but I would call it, but -250 is about as high as you'll get from a guy like that's in that, like, you know, maybe second tier of pitchers. Right. So I mean, when you look at that, you kind of have the same idea about money lines as me. Is that like where your brain sort of goes? Is that what put Sanchez on your radar to begin with?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd rather have a guy no matter what in a good money line situation. Just, you know, it's better, right? So. If you take a regular any game, a regular -120, the pitcher's in a less good situation than someone at 250 because it's really rare to see someone in 250. I mean, that probably happens maybe once a week.
Yeah,
a Kershaw-esque line. Yeah, so that's a big plus, especially on FanDuel where usually you need to pay up for some safety and a win.
Yeah, you just have to get the win basically on FanDuel. You don't have to, but especially on a day like today where there are a decent amount of good arms going, someone is just going to get the win from a pitcher they rostered, and that 12 points, I think, is what it is. That's a ton. You need that. You basically, it's really hard if you do not get a win to begin thinking about cashing in cash games. So if you get that, yeah, taking a look at that money line, minus 250, the next highest, I'd say, like, you know, Syndergaard coming in at minus 160. Syndergaard strikes me as possibly a little safer just because his skill set is better than Sanchez's. Like, Syndergaard's skill set is elite, right? So Sanchez, yeah, we said, was like, you know, like maybe like a tier B pitcher, nice to have on your team, not going to win this, not going to win the Cy Young Award. But Syndergaard's numbers are crazy good. 11 strikeouts per nine, walks almost nobody, 2.43 xFIP, which is exactly in line with his ERA. So he's, from a skill set sort of upside, I think that he is actually a better choice than Sanchez. And he might be where I go in cash games. It's going to be really close. The reason I would consider possibly Syndergaard over Sanchez here is just because they're so close in price, at least on DraftKings, excuse me, on FanDuel. 10-1 for Syndergaard, 9-6 for Sanchez. The difference of only $500. Syndergaard is significantly better than the difference in $500 from him to Sanchez. So that's the only thing that would make me sway front in cash games from Syndergaard to Sanchez. Excuse me, way around, from Sanchez to Syndergaard.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, it just does worry me a little bit with the Cardinals. They're such a patient team. Mm-hmm. Where it counts, get a walk, hit a double, Yadier Molina dinks one down the line, and it's just 2-0.
Right.
But I think Arrieta is kind of in that same boat. I don't understand that line at all. The Cubs minus 183 against Miguel Gonzalez. I would have that close to 250, honestly, and I don't think that's just me being a homer. Gonzalez sucks, and Arrieta, he's still the same guy. I mean, he's always been the same guy. He wasn't as good as people thought he was, and now he's not as bad as people think he is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the White Sox offer up a lot of strikeout upside. Arrieta obviously has that upside, and I think the Cubs get him a bunch of runs today.
It does strike me as, I do feel like looking at some of these, I mean, this is 10 o'clock Eastern that we're talking about this, so there's a solid, you know, 9 hours before these games start, and things are going to change from now until then. Some of these lines do strike me as a little wonky. So yeah, the Arrieta line, you know, opened at minus 200 and has come down, which feels odd, right? Because the matchup for him is good. The Syndergaard line feels like the run line's a little low. Although the Cardinals don't have a ton of lefty bats in there. I mean, with Moss is out, I believe, and they really just don't have much in the way of lefty power on that team.
Right.
So that does help Syndergaard a little bit. And then the Blue Jays line feels a little high to me. Starting at minus 230 and going up to minus 250 for Sanchez just doesn't feel – that feels a little weird. So I don't know. And I'm totally with you on the Keuchel line. That doesn't make sense. I think he's just over – I think Vegas just overrates him pretty consistently. So I'm not sure I totally trust that. Anyway, this is going to be interesting to see how the day goes with some of these guys. Our projections are modeled some on the money lines. And so it's going to sway some of that win expectation one way or the other. It's already close with guys like Sanchez and Syndergaard and Arrieta in terms of points per dollar, though Arrieta – probably is too expensive on DraftKings at 12-4 to really begin the discussion there. I mean, it's easier at 10-6 on FanDuel. I don't think you can go all the way up to his price on DraftKings. After those guys, and we talked about a bunch of different guys here, is there anyone else that's sort of like maybe cheap starting pitcher two on DraftKings that you can think about, or do you think you see yourself rostering two of these bigger guys and calling it a day?
Yeah, I think there's two more. They might get you off guard. One of them got me off guard. I don't even know if I can do it, but it's going to be Jake Peavy and Ian Kennedy.
Right.
PV, I mean, the Reds, they rely on their ballpark a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Moving into AT&T, that's going to be rough. Billy Hamilton does scare me a little bit in there just because he hits a gapper. He also gets on base still. Bases, PV struggles with that. But other than him, Bruce and Duvall obviously have the power to get it out, but it's going to be a lot harder in AT&T. And then touching on Kennedy, the Angels are just so bad moving into one of the worst hitter's parks in the league. He has strikeout upside. Angels can strike out. They don't strike out a ton, but I think he's pretty safe if you're trying to go down a little bit.
Yeah, Peavy's tough to stomach on the face of it, but it's a price thing, right? So he's so cheap. He's at 6,100 on DraftKings. This is where you start considering him for DraftKings or starting pitcher too, because you're getting such a savings there. I mean, his peripherals are like okay-ish, 7 Ks per 9, walks less than 3. The xFIP is horrible, though he's had some rough matchups. Like, he's had to walk into some not great matchups for him this year. So, he's not good by any stretch of the imagination. But the matchup here is good. The money line's decent for him. And it's just really a price thing. You get so much savings that if you do roster him or Kennedy kind of falls in the same boat as well. If you roster either one of those, you're able to pay up for some of the bats, which we're going to get to now. So, let's talk about – to me, it's pretty clear cut on the top for pitching. There's a couple of those cheaper guys down at the bottom. And I'm just going to – I would say we play wait and see to see how some of these run lines move during the day. Let's start at catcher. Let's start with some of the team overs. The highest overs for the day coming in, I have the Blue Jays at 5.97. I have the Rangers at right 5.66. Boston's coming in right around 5.3. And then Baltimore is sort of around 5.3 also. When we're looking at catcher today, where do you think you're going to start on FanDuel or DraftKings in terms of, and I guess we're probably going with a theme of we need to save a little bit if we're going to consider rostering some of these higher tag pitchers for safety. Where are we going for catcher?
On FanDuel, this is more of a price play and a talent play. I think I might just stick with Victor Martinez.
Yeah.
Pomeranz, he's one of my favorite pitchers in the league. Mm-hmm. But he is going to struggle with Fenway. He's young. He's not used to the monster. He's used to 600-foot left field. So, I mean, he's going to give up some home runs. He struggled against the Giants. It's going to happen again. I don't mind him. I think James McCann's interesting as well on that team. Then after that, there's no one that I'm really in love with matchup-wise. I think Lucroy has to be interesting just because, you know, he's facing a guy making his MLB debut in a great hitter's park for right-handed power. But other than that, I think it's – there's no one I love, but I think like Contreras is a good option if he's up there. Miguel Montero is a good option if he's up there. And really, that's all I'm looking at. I guess JT Realmuto, if he hits leadoff, is always someone to consider.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to struggle for choices at catcher today. There's just a group of guys that are all priced pretty advantageously, at least on FanDuel, right in that 3,000 range. Martin, Wieters, Contreras, Martinez. All three of those guys are, you know, from 2,900 to 3,200. That's a good group to be able to choose from. I can't imagine going away from one of the four guys in that group. Maybe a little mix of them all, depending on how things go. But each one of those is sort of middle of the order-ish, or higher. All have a good offensive skill set. None of them are breaking the bank for you. All the teams are in good spots. So I think that I'm actually not worried about catcher at all today. I think it's going to be one of that group, and it'll probably be one of that group too on DraftKings as well. Just because Wieters is only 2,900. That's nothing. Even Martin at 35. Yeah. Is not really posy at 3,000. I mean, there's just a lot of good choices today. I'm not really worried about having to roster catcher today. I'm going to see how some of the lines move, where the lineups come in, but I think it's going to be one of that grouping. Let's move on to first base. Are you still, like, in that Victor Martinez idea, can you still consider targeting a guy like Miggy against Pomeranz and Fenway, or do you need to look somewhere else?
I think first base is just a little more, you know, has a little more substance, so I will be looking somewhere else, though I think he's definitely a good tournament option. Just because of, you know, Green Monster, you could easily hit two out.
Right.
But my top guy is definitely going to be Encarnacion. Against a righty, he hits righties extremely well. Colin Ray, I don't understand why he still pitches. I thought he was good, but there's the chance of him having a good start are like zero.
Yeah.
So he's going to give up something. Encarnacion has been swinging the bat well. Hit one yesterday. I could see it happen again today. Other than that, I could see Chris Carter in tournaments just because he has the, you know, double home run power, and Billy Butler. I'm all over the Athletics offense today. So
Think that Athletics line is low? I mean, for facing
insanely low.
Like, they do throw out some righty bats against Perez. Right now they're projected for under five runs, somewhere like in the 4.77 range. But does that strike you as like the line too low for a guy like Perez in that park?
He's faced Oakland twice this year, gave up four earned runs in less than six innings both times, and that was in Oakland. This is a completely different scenario. The Athletics are probably my favorite team to stack against lefties, other than the Blue Jays. So I'm going to have a ton of them. I'll save some other guys for later, but yeah, I like Billy Butler at first, as long as sometimes he's hitting second, sometimes he's hitting seventh. So as long as he's in a decent lineup spot, I like him a lot.
It's really, and we'll get to some of these guys later in some of these other positions. It's very difficult to figure out what the Athletics are going to do with their lineup on a day-to-day basis because they really shift things around. Like, they'll have Chris bat first and then seventh, you know, like it won't. Mm-hmm. And they just really, you know, Semien will bat second against lefties sometimes, and then he'll bat eighth. Like, it just doesn't, they don't really seem to have, I mean, maybe there's a grander scheme to how they're creating the lineups and that I'm just not seeing. Like, maybe they're deep diving analytics that I just don't understand. But you know, some teams you can kind of predict what they're going to do lefty righty. But the Athletics are just not one of those teams. They throw some curveballs at you. That's a baseball reference, by the way, throwing curveballs at you. They'll do different things in the lineup, so it's always hard to judge ahead of time. Let's go on to second base. Or did I get everyone from first base for you? You said Encarnacion, Butler, Carter.
I think just Rizzo. Rizzo's the other guy I think you got to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Against Miguel Gonzalez. U.S. Cellular is a good hitting park, and you know he's one of the best hitters. So
yeah, and I think the case for Miggy for me on FanDuel is that he is still only 3,300, and that group that you mentioned, the Encarnacion, the Rizzo group, they're all 45 or above, and just the savings you get on Cabrera's skill set is significant, even though Pomerantz is a fine enough pitcher. But the lefty-righty matchup, short porch and left, I think our system is going to have a hard time getting away from that price for him in that upper tier of first baseman, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Let's go on to second base. Give me some thoughts here.
All right, so I think this one's going to take you off guard a little bit.
Let's see.
If I'm paying down, it's going to. If I'm paying down and I need to save somewhere, Greg Garcia. Against Syndergaard, okay. I know. The chance he gets on base are low. Syndergaard's given up the most stolen bases this year. Greg Garcia has the green light. He gets on base. He's going to be leading off. So if he gets a single to start off the game, you can guarantee he's going to steal. He might. I think Syndergaard's given up like a 90% success rate on the year. So I mean, that's already a triple. You start off with a triple at 2.4K on FanDuel, and that lets you open up a lot of other spots to pay up for.
And at other positions, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And other spots, I could see going Jonathan Scope. I do prefer him against righties as he has more power against them. Mm-hmm. But De La Rosa is not good. They're projected to score almost 5.5 runs. So I could definitely see him. And outside of that, I don't think anyone's going to be insanely highly owned. But I think Ian Kinsler is a decent option if he's leading off.
See, let me ask you a question about it. I actually kind of don't agree with you on Garcia, I don't think. I'll give you a guy at the exact same price point. If Profar hit leadoff at 2.4 or Garcia 2.4 at leadoff, who would you choose between that group?
Probably Profar.
Yeah.
I
might have hung up on you if you had said Garcia. Garcia there. I just finished the podcast by myself. But okay, go ahead.
I think there's some kind of tournament strategy where you say Garcia if you expect Profar to be 30% and Garcia to be 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think there has to be something there just because stolen base upside is a real thing. Where he could easily get two singles, two stolen bases, and he's at 17 FanDuel points. Where Profar, he can steal a base, but in order for him to do that, he's got to get a double, a single, and an RBI, which, it's probably more likely. But if one of them's 30% and one's 3, I think you got to take a risk there.
Yeah, I think if you see Profar hitting leadoff, he's the chalk cash game play at 2,400. He's just still so cheap. The Rangers have one of the higher run lines against Mangdon today. Honestly, even if he was hitting fifth, I'd probably consider him there, depending on like where Devin Travis was hitting around that same price point. But there's a couple interesting guys, Dietrich if he hit up in the lineup. But I think if you see Profar in that leadoff spot, and we'll have the information before lineups lock for sure, I think he ends up becoming, at least on FanDuel, the chalk play. I'm not sure if it he's actually still pretty cheap on DraftKings too, 3,800 there. So I think I don't think he's a must play for me there if he's hitting leadoff. But if he's hitting leadoff at 2,400, I think it's pretty much a must play for me at second. Let's hit shortstop up real quick. This feels like a bad position to me, but maybe you can talk me out of it. What are you thinking about shortstop?
Yeah, I think if Marcus Semien just disappeared off the earth, it would be bad.
Yeah.
But other than that, I just love him so much today. 10 home runs and only 88 plate appearances against lefties. Has a 380 wOBA in Texas. And it doesn't get much better. If he's hitting anywhere other than like eighth,
right,
I'll probably end up just having him in 100% of lineups. I like the matchup that much. Martin Perez, I dislike him a lot. He gives up a ton of hard contact, and he seems to always get lucky. It's going to have to stop soon. And in Texas, against a really good team that hits good against lefties, could definitely be the spot.
Yeah, it's lock and load time if he's hitting second, for sure. Yeah. I get a little worried if they have him all the way in the eighth hole, because it just kills your plate appearance expectations so much. And it's not like he's free. I mean, 3,200 on FanDuel is getting up into a price tier where he's not priced out of consideration here, obviously. But if he's not 3,200 for a guy like hitting eighth, is hard to stomach, I think. Yeah. And that would be a case where I probably would pivot to a guy like Tulo at 2,800. And I'm not sure I would. Not if Simeon's hitting second, like I said, but Tulo is pretty locked into that fifth or sixth spot in the lineup. 2,800, he's better against lefties, so it's not a great spot against Ray, but Ray's just not good. So the Blue Jays should put up some points there, and I'm not really worried about it. On DraftKings, Simeon 4,800, man, I don't know. That's pretty expensive for him.
That is tough.
I know that he's good, and I know that's a better split. Like, if you were going to do, let's say like Simeon at 4,800 or Machado at 4,800 on DraftKings. Who would you choose between that group? And I'll have Simeon batting second. Simeon batting second or Machado against De La Rosa in Baltimore for same price.
Tournaments or cash games?
Cash games.
Machado.
Yeah.
Every time.
Okay.
But tournaments, if I think, depending on the ownership I projected, it's close, but raw points and projection, I'd have Machado ahead for sure.
Yeah, that's a tougher. That to me ends up being a little tougher. And it's not mutually exclusive because Machado plays third too. So it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, he qualifies a third on DraftKings, so you're not forced into it. But those guys, then it becomes an interesting situation for me. Especially what's really interesting if you think the A's run line is too low, which I think we both agree that it is. So if you thought the run line was closer to five, then actually probably it actually becomes a little bit closer on Simeon versus Machado. Let's go over to third base. Give me some thoughts here.
Well, we just talked about probably my top option. Well, second top option, Machado.
Mm-hmm.
He's great play. De La Rosa. He really isn't that bad. I mean, he's horrible, but.
Well, you just said he's not that bad, and then yeah, you said he's horrible.
I guess I was comparing him to like the rest of that pitching staff.
Sure.
Over the past couple of years. He's been kind of their ace that holds like a 5 xFIP.
Mm-hmm.
So he's no. I mean, he's definitely you can target him, but he's not. Like, oh, I don't know, Tyler Matzek, who's
right.
been their lefties over the past couple of years. He does, you know, he can go seven and give up three or whatever. But the top guy is Danny Valencia. 100% exposure on FanDuel, 2.7. That's just ridiculous. He's just mashed 440 wOBA against lefties. It's definitely a little inflated by the BABIP and the home run to fly ball rate. But he's had about a 400 over the last couple of years, 380. And he's so good. If you want to get really different, I like Chris Bryant. He always has huge home run upside. He's a lot more expensive, so he's going to be a lot lower on though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really hard to get away from Valencia's 2,700 price there. I think he'll be the chalk play also. There's a couple guys that will end up being totally chalky plays if they're hitting where you think they're going to hit in the lineup. When that would be like, for me, it'd be Profar and Valencia. Those two guys, it's so much savings you get from really pretty significant upside for both of them. Real quick on De La Rosa, it's really hard to always judge the Rockies pitchers to just know exactly yep. how good they are because they just play in such a horrible ballpark, and it's really hard to regress everything for ballpark. So you just hard to know like what that ballpark does in terms of your overall skill set and what happens when they pitch away. Actually, but I was looking at De La Rosa real quick. He's actually for his career been better at home.
It's so weird.
He has a lower xFIP at Coors at 4.06 than he does away for his whole career at 4.32. And a lot of those away games are like in San Francisco and in San Diego because they play in the NL West. So it's without looking at his entire game log of where all those away games have been, it stands to reason that a lot of those games have been in places like that because they play those teams more. But that's amazing to have a lower xFIP. Yeah, it is weird. So anyway, but just judging the Rockies pitchers away from Coors, it just is always, I think that Vegas struggles with that. I think we all struggle with it because you just don't really know what that park does to you mentally or just with your stuff because you just have to pitch differently there. You just can't, you have to have a different game plan when you pitch in Coors than when you go on the road, but it's hard to switch your game plans if you're a pitcher. Like you kind of just need to be consistent. So I think it's just difficult to know sort of how that park screws with your head or with your mechanics or whatever it does to different pitchers. I can't imagine it's a good thing for them mentally. Yeah, I think I'm with you all over third base. Valencia to me is, like I said, total chalk. I can see paying up for Bryant just because the matchup is great. Let's finish it off with the outfield. You know, is there a team or teams you're looking to stack here? Are you looking to more just spread some exposure to a couple different teams in good spots? But where are you looking for outfield?
On a side note, I think FanDuel just unleashed this lobby. Very weird. Go check it out.
What do you mean?
But I don't know. They just put out like this new lobby thing. I like it, but yeah. Aside from that.
Okay.
I like the Blue Jays. I just saw it and I was like, what in the world? But yeah, I like the Blue Jays a lot. Bautista could be coming back, I heard today. So
if
he's back in there, I doubt anyone will be on him. He still has the DL tag on FanDuel, so very rarely do those guys go over 5% owned.
Mm-hmm.
He could be fun. Helixson used to be someone we targeted every single time out. So I could see Yelich, Stanton, Ozuna. That little 3-4-5 stack is a fun one. And other than that, I think it is a lot of Chris Davis. People like to target Jake Smolinski against lefties. Not one of those guys. Just doesn't even look like he can hit the ball out of the infield. So,
he just hits too low in the lineup typically too.
Yeah.
He's like usually like in the 8 or 9 hole. So that just doesn't – I just can't – it's really hard for me, especially on a day like today, to consider for cash games playing a guy that's hitting 8th or 9th. I know sometimes our system bumps those because – it just likes a team so much that it will throw one of those guys in there, like in the eighth. I just really, I don't think today is the day you need to do it. So you like stacking the A's for sure. You said the Blue Jays. There's another group of guys that you can get behind, or there may be some, like I said, some one-off guys that look like good value.
Yeah, I think there's some one-offs. Unless you don't want to go all out, but I don't think they're really an outfield stack like, you know, the Marlins, where you can go 3, 4, 5, because likely they're going to be 1, 2, and 5. So if you want to get a Donaldson or an Encarnacion and Tulo in there, I think you can do that. And outside of that, I think Dexter Fowler is a really awesome one-off. Jason Hayward, I like him, but he's just not the same hitter. I don't know. I think he'll get around, but until he starts hitting, I'm probably going to stay off him, not just because, you know, he's on a bad streak, but he's just not really fitting with this lineup right now. In St. Louis, he kind of had a role here. He's bouncing around the lineup with Fowler out. So if he starts hitting well, I don't mind him. And other than that, I think we haven't really touched on the Rangers much. I think Mazzara, if he's in the two-hole again, makes for a really good play.
Yeah, the Rangers, again, another one of those teams, like, what will they do with their lineup? It's going to kind of all depend on where they hit some of these players, because I could have Profar batting first, fifth, or eighth. Like, I'm not totally sure. And I could do the same thing with Mazzara, second, fifth, or eighth. Like,
and
I just don't
know.
And
Shields back,
and
really.
He was the next guy I was going to mention, was the Shields.
He could be anywhere, too. He could be 1-9. Five.
Yeah, if it was a lefty, I would think that the Shields would probably hit higher in the lineup. So the righty has me thinking that he probably won't be, especially because Profar is switch hitting. So Profar as a switch hitter allows you to just stagger that lineup. I just don't totally understand why they still have Beltre hitting in the middle of the order here, but it just may be more on just name value alone, because I'm pretty sure off the top of my head that his numbers this year have not been very good.
Yeah, I think it's hard to put a guy like that down in the order, you know.
You mean like what's hit Beltre lower in the order?
Like as a manager, like Hall of Famer, you know, it's hard to just get in the six hole kid.
Right, I understand that. But he has
I agree. Statistically, he should be.
Yeah, my conversation to him would be, right, except you have a 750 OPS over like the last 3 years, so, and that's just not getting it done, and he just doesn't. But I think he sits more in the middle of the lineup, like you said, just because on his name. Like, he's not a better hitter than any of these guys. So I just, like, I'm always a little confused why they continue to just trot him out there in that spot, especially against righties. I think that would be the time to stack the lineup a little bit more with lefties near the top, but they're not going to do that. Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of interesting ways to go today. I think there's just enough bad pitching that we're not going to struggle to find value at the top of the order for some of these prices. The pricing to me, especially on FanDuel, is skewing low. Like, there's not really, considering that we're definitely not going to pay more than 10-6 for any pitcher, because Arrieta's the highest at 10-6, and I don't know if you need to do that, but it's going to be like 10,000 or less for any pitching. That's going to leave a lot of flexibility for your bats, depending on where they come in through the lineups today. I think it's going to be an interesting day. I think you said at the top, you said it was going to be a fun slate. I do see it that way. Are there any weather concerns that we need to think about this early in the day?
I don't know if we really need to worry about them just yet, because they're kind of yellow. I'm seeing Baltimore kind of between 15 to 30% throughout. Winds blowing out to right there. In New York, that one does look a little bad. New York and Boston both sitting around 45 to 50%, although it looks like it does taper off towards the end of the game. So if it starts off with a delay, that's okay for Syndergaard. If it holds off until 8-10, and he gets through 3 innings, then it hits hard for 2 hours. That's a problem. So I would keep an eye on that. And wind-wise, wind's blowing in Texas, but they have that backdrop, so it creates a jet stream coming out. So I wouldn't worry about that. And it's blowing in about 10 miles an hour in Chicago as well.
Great. Okay. So then, like I said, with weather's a good thing to check for you know, weather experts throughout the industry. We have Mark Paquette, who does some weather for us. There's a couple other sources. I always encourage people to read analysis of weather rather than just look at percentages and make a determination like that, because not all percentages for weather are created equally, and it's just good to have a set of eyes that knows how to read radar to kind of steer you in the right direction, especially when it comes to pitching, because it can be so brutal to lose a pitcher midway through a game because of a rain delay, and we just want to avoid that if we can. All right, dude, thanks for bearing with me this morning. I was late getting started. I told Austin I was struggling today, but Austin, he picked up the slack and was able to carry us home to the podcast. That's it for us today. Enjoy the Monday of baseball. For FanDuel, DraftKings, head over to the site. Free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by Lineup Lab. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And if you don't even want to get on that, just go over and check out all the free content we have going up every single day. Picks, stacks, weather, pitcher breakdowns, news and updates, everything you need to get yourself started. Awesome, man. I will talk to you tomorrow, brother. Thanks for carrying the load today.
All right, see you.
All right, everyone. Take it easy.